Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back to Working Overtime, the advice-focused thing to working's Mr. Fantastic. I'm Isaac Butler.
And I'm June Thomas, once again puzzled by Isaac's references to pop culture. Isaac, what are we talking about today?
Wait. Before we get into the meat of this episode, you're puzzled by a reference to the Fantastic Four. A comic strip that's been around since the 1960s and has spawned several
just
unwatchable
like me.
Movies.
Yes, including one with the guy from The Shield.
Okay, so anyway, today I wanted to talk about, maybe it's one of a series of episodes we've done about taking care of ourselves. Now, we've done some similarly themed episodes about taking breaks, about mental health, but I realized we haven't really talked about physically taking care of ourselves unless a guest brings it up in their interview. So I thought maybe we should talk about whether or even why or maybe even if that's important to the creative life and how to do it. Now, I want to say right off the bat, because I'm sure there's some listeners out there, there's like an alarm bell ringing in the back of their mind and they're thinking this is going to be a bunch of diet culture bullshit. And I am very opposed to diet culture. And if I remember correctly from past episodes, that's something that drives you up the proverbial wall, around the proverbial bend. Am I correct, June?
You are correct, Isaac.
Okay, great. Just want to make sure. So this is our guarantee to you, the working overtime guarantee. No diet culture horse crap. But it is still important to take care of the body. And I don't know about you, June, but I find it very easy to forget when I am deep in the throes of a creative project. And for me anyway, you know, I had that revelation pretty late in life because I injured my back very badly while writing The Method, not because, you know, I was so into, I don't know, doing squats with a tree on my shoulders or something while typing, but actually it was because I was so sedentary for the final year of writing the book. And the chair I was sitting in was a crappy folding chair, a series of crappy folding chairs, in fact. I had never known before that sitting for a year in a bad chair could screw up your back so badly that you required months of physical therapy, but that is indeed what happened. June, did you require a similar epiphanic moment to take care of yourself? And if you did it happen like me almost as soon as you became middle-aged?
Sort of, with a little twist. So I've written quite a bit, some people would say too much, about how my teeth were pretty messed up when I was a kid. And I don't just mean that they were misaligned, though they were, but I had like serious infections and a bunch of missing teeth and I needed quite a bit of treatment. And when I wasn't able to access that treatment, it was really hard to get work done. Like when you're in pain, you cannot focus. When you are self-conscious about something that, especially something like teeth that has a kind of extra class related valence.
Right.
You're not in the best position to put yourself forward for jobs or assignments. Now, fortunately, I was able to start to get treatment in my 30s. And it was really then when I wasn't in pain and was much less self-conscious about my appearance that I realized how much it had cost me, you know, concentration and confidence wise. But, you know, those problems that were with me from childhood meant that I always had a sense of how precarious health can be and how it can affect your output. Also, I had to spend a lot of money. I reckon I've paid about $100,000 in out-of-pocket dental expenses over the years. And, you know, that definitely also kept it in the front of my mind.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that definitely brings up is that when taking care of yourself means seeking out the medical establishment, there are other factors that have to do with money, particularly in the United States. You are now in the UK with its famous, lauded, and we should say much under attack currently, national health Can you tell us a little bit about that now that you've moved there and what the difference in experience is for you?
It's night and day. You know, I mean, yes, the National Health Service, or as Brits always refer to it, our NHS, it's, you know, it's getting squeezed for all kinds of reasons, because of underfunding, because of the difficulties of hiring people, especially after Brexit. And also living longer, all of these things mean that it's under pressure. But it makes such a huge difference, especially to being a creative person, when you don't have to worry about can you pay to get treatment that you need. I also have to say that I went for, it was just a cleaning, but it cost me £5 at the dentist. It was bonkers.
£5? £5.
And then I had another bill that was £12 for another visit. Like, it's just mind-boggling. But there are problems with NHS dentistry. Don't want to underplay that, but just that sense of a worry that is removed from your life. It's something that obviously is just a terrible failure in the USA.
Yes, indeed. One that we cannot solve on this week's episode, but we can talk a little bit about ways that we can help ourselves, which we will do after this.
What's the best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day in everyday situations. But if that's not on the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. I've used apps in the past to learn new languages, but when I came across Babbel, I wondered if it could help me refresh my knowledge of a language I once spoke well, but was now a little bit or quite a lot rusty. I have to say, I was impressed. The advanced lessons were really useful, tips and idioms that can help with in-depth conversations on topics that I can actually imagine chatting about. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations, and the tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. What's more, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for working listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for working listeners, at babbel.com/working. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/working, spelled BABBEL.com/working. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hey, listeners, do you have any tips or questions about the creative process? Get in touch and share your advice. You can email us at working@slate.com, or even better, you can call us and leave a message at 304-933-9675. That's 304-933-WORK.
Welcome back. We are talking all things physical health. Now, let me ask June, do you think that there is a connection between the creative process and taking care of yourself? Because, you know, in some ways, the pop culture image of the artist is actually the opposite, right? Yeah. There is a connection between being healthy and being creative. And it's actually that you should be as unhealthy as possible. Yeah. You should, you know, drink a bottle of Jack Daniels and howl at the moon or whatever it is. And that's how you're going to find inspiration for your great paintings.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that is absolutely bonkers. Part of the romantic ideal of the struggling artist, quite apart from the drink and the drugs that, you know, some are shown to be requiring to, you know, to make anything, is of someone alone in her garret, misunderstood by the establishment and underappreciated in her time. And for that person, work is their everything. Never mind anything else. Never mind health. Never mind friends. Never mind anything but the work. And, you know, my work is important to me. Ideas and art and culture are important to me. But it is far too easy to take that too far and think of an artist as being a kind of disembodied brain. That is such a damaging way to approach creativity. And I think by valorizing that kind of romantic ideal, we also kind of embrace a lack of self-respect. Creativity does not require, you know, self-harm.
You know, it's very funny. As you know, I'm a big Shakespeare nut, and we know nothing about what Shakespeare was like as a person. And in most fictionalized depictions of Shakespeare, you know, he's drinking a lot, he's like fucking left and right, he's kind of a party guy or whatever. It's like, well, you know, he was a manager of a theater company and he wrote two plays a year. My image of him is that he's actually probably pretty boring, right?
Yeah,
probably
right.
Just working all the time, you know.
Right.
I will be honest, I still find myself thinking, you know, like when I'm exercising or whatever, this is time I could be doing research. You know, like it can feel totally irrelevant to one's job to take care of your body or whatever. For listeners who struggle with this alongside me, what advice do you have?
So I think this is part of that whole thing of, you know, every minute must be perfectly used, you know, otherwise we're, you know, showing insufficient commitment. So yes, let's just admit, let's stipulate that taking care of the body, it's an essential part of the artist's commitment to their craft. But at the same time, I do recognize that little voice you described. So here's something I do. If there is a time in the day that feels quote unquote wasted or insufficiently optimized because you're exercising instead of reading, say, stuff it with a passive task, you know, like take that little space and cram it. Because say you're taking a walk or working out at the gym, well, maybe listen to an audiobook that's relevant to your project or listen to a podcast interview with someone who's involved in the artistic scene that you're writing about. I don't think there's much harm in that, and it can, yes, actually be useful, but also you really don't have to do that. Like, it's okay, right. it's okay just to run or just to walk. That's fine.
And we should say, this is the world's top productivity advocate, June Thomas, saying this. So if June Thomas says it's okay, it must really be okay. You know, to me, I have to just keep reminding myself, like, you got to bring your best self to your work. And that's, of course, that's not always possible. You know, life gets in the way, but your work will benefit from at least that attempt. And part of that attempt is staying healthy to the extent that you can and trying to be in a good place mentally when you sit down. Like, obviously, like, I've written some stuff out of anger. I've even written good stuff when angry or exhausted. And particularly when you're in your 20s, there's that thrill to burning the candle at both ends, but you just can't keep it up forever. It's not a sustainable way to work.
That is absolutely true. You really cannot. And I know too that my body was not shy about telling me that. You know, when I was young, I had terrible work habits. The all-nighter was my favorite way to produce. I would push deadlines way beyond their limits, you know, just, I guess, in search of adrenaline. And at a certain point, that just was not possible. I mean, yeah, I could stay up all night, but when dawn's rosy fingers tapped me on the shoulders, I'd look down and I just had a bunch of nonsense in a Word doc, and then I'd be sick all day. And that meant I couldn't get anything done then, which put me further behind and made everything worse. I mean, I eventually got the picture and changed my habits. And I have to say, young me wouldn't recognize the person with insanely, and I must admit, very boringly healthy habits that I am today.
insanely and boringly healthy.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you tell me more about that, June? What do you do to take care of yourself?
I'm going to first tell you what I do not do. I do not go to the gym. I've signed up many a time over the years. I've even gone to the gym occasionally. And you know what? It's just not for me. And I've just accepted that. And also, I just really hate getting sweaty. I also hate water, so no pools either.
We should have had a disclaimer at the beginning. No diet culture and no hydration talk, right? If there's one thing people love talking about, it's hydration. No hydration here. That's the working overtime promise.
Hydration-free zone. Okay, so those are the things I don't do, but here's what I do do. I am a maniac about sleep. I try to end my day around, did I say boring, 10 p.m. and my lights are out at 11 p.m. And that is probably both the biggest change in my health habits in the last few years and the thing that has had the biggest impact. And I'm sure this will not come as any surprise to anybody who has ever lived with a small baby. Sleep, it's really important. And I never learned to drive, so I've always walked a lot just to get around. So I go for a walk every day. And yeah, I'm not talking about crazy ambitious hikes with poles, you know, but I get my minimum of 5,000 steps in every day and often many thousand more. I eat healthily. I eat at regular times. You know, as I'm hearing myself speak, I know these are very basic things. They are probably the absolute minimum that a person can do for themselves to be considered healthy. But I also don't just think, I know that there are many, many people, including a lot of people who are devoted to creativity, who don't do those things.
That's totally true. That's totally true. I would also love to see you with the sticks, you know, with the two, this kind of like cross-country ski pole type thing, walking up and down Arthur's Seat. For me, you know, like I said, it started with physical therapy, and I was also walking what was then my new dog. Mm-hmm. We adopted a dog as soon as I turned the book in. Oh. The beloved Chili, who is often visible in the background of the Zooms as we do these. Now, and this grew out of doing physical therapy, I do Pilates 3 or 4 times a week. And until I had COVID in August, I was also running on an elliptical once or twice. I was just about to start adding the cardio back in because my doctor keeps saying, more cardio, no matter what I do. But I have recently developed a very mysterious pain in my left knee. And until I get that checked out, I'm worried about making it worse. So just doing the Pilates and taking the dog on long walks. But a thing I want to note here is, like you, I was a member of gyms many times, and I would try it for a while. I would find a form of exercise that I was sort of okay with, and then I'd just fall off of it.
Yeah.
I hate lifting weights. Stationary bikes bore me to tears. Yoga classes make me incredibly self-conscious. Oh my God, if you want to be self-conscious about your body image, go to a yoga class. But the Pilates and running on the elliptical machine we have in our basement, those are things I like enough that I will keep doing them. And I actually think enjoyment is a really important part of forming these habits. At least if you're like me, like I never experience, and I bet you don't either, the endorphin-fueled runner's high. Yeah. That never happens to me. So I have to find other stuff, other ways to enjoy working out.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think it's important to recognize when something isn't for you. The habit gurus say that it takes 30 days to form a new habit. So if you're serious, give it at least that long. But if you put in the time and it still feels miserable, stop and go look for something else. I have to say, though, Isaac, Pilates really is the deadlock of exercise. I mean, lots of people raving about it. Very few people saying they don't get anything out of it. I have a lot of Pilates-loving pals.
Yeah, you know, a weird thing I discovered once I started doing it is that I think it's actually like going through a period of being very popular now, which I was not really aware of. But then all of a sudden I noticed that, like, every vacant storefront in my neighborhood that hadn't been turned into a weed bodega had been turned into a Pilates studio. Like they're just everywhere. They are all over the place. And I really recommend checking it out. It's really interesting. It's sort of like stretching with weights. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's my core feels super aligned, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like I feel like my posture's better. I don't know. I really like it. And it was really necessary for me to find something that was low impact because of what was going on with my back, but would also do core strengthening. And so it really sort of ticked all the boxes. Mm. And, you know, echoes something you said earlier. I've become more concerned as I get older about what I eat, about how much alcohol I drink, how much sleep I get. The body is not capable of bouncing back in the same way. I've never liked being drunk. I've never been a big drinker. No. Do you know what I mean? But at some point, you know, the hangover, if I accidentally had too much, turned from like a headache to like intense anxiety. And so it's like, I'm not going to be in that position anymore. And I eat a mostly vegetarian diet because it just makes me feel better. Yeah. You know, I too, because I have a 9-year-old, I'm usually in bed with the lights out by 11:30, you know, so I totally know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you mean about the hangover thing, that the body just is not shy about letting you know when it's unhappy. You know, I enjoy a drink, but I very rarely have more than one a day. And there are definitely days too where I had none. And I've learned from experience, I no longer drink red wine or scoff tons of cheese, even though I love both of those things, because they give me a horrible headache. And that's just the worst.
Wait, you get a cheese hangover?
Yeah, it's awful. It makes me so mad.
Really? And you're just like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have had that Gouda last night, bro.
Exactly. I mean, I guess it's dairy, because ice cream does it too. And I mean, I have to tell you,
oh man,
I still eat ice cream because I love ice cream, but it gives me a headache. It's awful.
Look, you have to find some joy in this life, right?
Exactly.
And we have more joy for your life coming up after this.
Listeners, I just want to remind you that if you are enjoying Working Overtime, and I sincerely hope you are, please subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we'd love you to rate or review the show. Believe me, it really does help new listeners to find us. And if Overcast is your app of choice, please hit the star to recommend the episode to others.
June, I know I've mentioned going to the doctor a couple of times. I know that you are incredibly mindful of your teeth. Mm-hmm. As you say, you've written many times and talked many times about going to the dentist. I think it's one of the most significant relationships in your adult life.
Yes.
This reminds me that I need to schedule a dental appointment. And also that lots of artists I know, including me, are pretty bad at keeping up with physicians. In fact, you and I have a mutual friend who I think has not been to the dentist in like a decade or more.
Oh my goodness. Afterwards, you need to tell me who that is so I can perform an intervention. Okay, I'm not saying this because I think other people should do the same, quite the opposite, in fact, but I have to admit I'm a bit of a doctor dodger myself. I feel like I'm basically a healthy person. I feel like I know where I need to seek regular care. For me, that's my teeth and my eyes, because I was issued with pretty terrible specimens of both of those things. But I don't get regular checkups or just go to the doctors. Again, to be clear, I'm not recommending that, but the Working Overtime oath requires me to admit as much.
I've had the same problem in the past for sure, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, like I hadn't been to the doctor in a while, well, in part because of the pandemic, but I hadn't been to a doctor in a while prior to the back trouble I was having. And, you know, then there's other stuff. It's like once you're middle aged, it's like, oh, you know, you need to get your blood work done because there might be something there, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that stuff has sort of kept me going. I will also say the whole you could see a doctor over Zoom now if you're not getting lab work done has made me a lot more likely to just send my doctor a note and hop on a Zoom call to discuss something. But so can I ask, like, is it that you need someone to psych you up, or you need to psych yourself up, or you need to, you know, listen to some song that like encourages you, you know, or something? I don't know. For me, it was necessity. But what do you think's holding you back?
You know, I don't even know in my case. I think it's a combination of getting out of the habit of going and the thing we were talking about earlier, the offensive expense of a trip to the doctor in the USA. But I did see a doctor when I first moved to Scotland and I thought it was dying. Surprise, it was a dental infection. And, you know, the doctor was great. 10 out of 10, would consult again. But that was about 16 months ago and I haven't gone anywhere near the surgery since. So I'm not a resister. I'm not a denier. I just don't generally feel the need.
It's wild how easily it can slip your mind, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It just, yeah. Obviously, we are not scoldy people, so we are not scolding our listeners to go to the doctor or whatever, or to, you know, hop on the elliptical machine. But we do like to talk about, you know, how we conceptualize this stuff. So how do you think about, or what advice can we give people about trying to build better health?
Okay, so this is so basic, but if you want to do your art. If you want to be a creative person, if you want to achieve your goals, don't ignore your body. You don't have to spend hours at the gym every day and walk 10,000 steps and sleep 8 hours, though you really should sleep for 8 hours. And just don't ignore it. You know, do what you can. But
right.
I will share the famous Patti Smith advice, famous to me at least, because I think dozens of people over the years have shared it with me. In commencement addresses and on panels, she often tells would-be or young artists, quote, "You only get one set of teeth, brush, floss, and go to the dentist, or you'll regret it later. Better than just about anyone in the world, I know how hard it can be to see a dentist, to get an appointment if you don't have coverage, to pay for it, whether or not you have coverage, because there are always out-of-pocket expenses. But my advice is prioritize your teeth, because in this, as in so much else, Patti is right."
Amazing. You know, for me, the only thing I'd add on to that is that I think when most of us think about ourselves or what a human being is, we think of the mind and body as a binary. Mm. We know that binary is false, but it does not stop us from thinking about it, right? It's like, even though your mind is in your brain, which is an organ in your body, and all the information it gets from the world is filtered to it by other sensory organs in your body, like, we just can't help separating the two. It's like my body is a jar that contains this separate thing called my mind. I think if you practice an art form that's an intellectual discipline, like nonfiction writing, like you and I do, it's like triply easy to fall into that trap. But one thing that I've learned from the past couple of years, you know, of COVID and back injury and whatnot, is that writing is actually a physical act. Your fingers are moving, your back is aligned in a particular way, or needs to be, I learned. Yes. Your eyes are scanning left to right. If you dictate, your mouth is moving, your throat is active, you're breathing in and out. You know, what we're sort of talking about here is embracing the totality of yourself as an artist. And that requires embracing that you are a physical being moving through physical space with the one body you have on this earth, as annoying and gross as bodies can be, to be totally frank.
Totally. Right on. I'm very conscious of how easy it is for me to sit here and tell people to spend money. But if you're a writer, having a chair that supports your back that doesn't wreck your body is really important, and that should be high on your financial priorities. Going to the dentist when you can is important. Getting your eyes tested, getting glasses if you need them. Crazy thought here, but better to spend money on those things than on a class or a retreat or a new computer. That is just my two cents.
I believe our two most consistent pieces of advice for aspiring writers are get a good chair and a laser printer, right? Isn't that mine is laser printer, yours is get a good chair, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's episode, but let me leave you with one last piece of advice. I think you should subscribe to Working wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have ideas for things we could do better, questions you'd like us to address, we would love to hear from you. You can send us an email at working@slate.com or give us a ring at 304-933-WORK.
If you would like to support what we do, sign up for Slate Plus at slate.com/workingplus. You'll get bonus content, including exclusive episodes of Slow Burn and Big Mood, Little Mood. And you'll be supporting what we do right here on Working.
Thanks, as always, to Kevin Bendis and to our series producer, Cameron Drews, who are both fine examples of mens sana in corpore sano. We'll be back on Sunday with a brand new episode of Working, and in 2 weeks, we'll have another Working Overtime. Until then, get back to work.